time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by the K-Band Savings Bank and Moynihan Lumber. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro. How's it going? We're weekly show if you stumbled upon us, msounewsports.com. I don't like to do a lot of talking. I like to leave this to the guests. So we're going to get out of the way for Mr. Luke Graham, our former intern on the show. He's a Northeastern University baseball media maven. I'll tell you, he's doing his thing. He's doing his thing in the media, and I love it. Covering Northeastern University baseball. He's going to tell us all about these North Shore and Merrimack Valley kids that are helping out the Huskies, or helped out, I should say, because they had a run that ended in the tournament, but they had a great season. So we will talk to Luke Graham after the break, and then we will get on and talk about MIAA tourney stuff.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, Dom Nicastro back on the sports desk with our pal, former intern extraordinaire, got his start. FM radio, 104.9 FM, went on to the podcast world at msonewsports.com with us. He left us for bigger and better things. Luke,
no,
Moonlight Graham. What's up?
Good. Not much, Dom. How are you? Long time no see, man.
We're good, man.
Thank you for having me back. And obviously, thank you for helping me out and giving me the start. That was a great experience when I was young. And I think you helped me get into college, too.
When I was young, what are you, like 58 years old now?
Younger, I should have said. No, Dom, that was like 3-4 years ago at this point.
I guess so. Yeah. So you are at Northeastern University, and you are is it fair to say interning at the Sports Hub 98.5 as well?
Yes, that is the case. I am a digital intern. So do a lot of article writing. I think I have 302 published articles. I've been there since January, working full time for them since January.
Banging out short ones.
Like, it depends on the day. Yeah,
300 words.
I did a lot of that to start, so we'd get like 8 done in a day, and then it depends. I've been doing a lot more column type stuff the last few months, but yeah. So doing that, and I'm almost done, but that's been a great experience, and then. Been covering Northeastern hockey and baseball here for the last 2 years now. And it's just down in Florida, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little more.
Well, what did, in what capacity you'd work with Northeastern University teams?
So it's called WRBB Sports, and it's Northeastern Student Radio. So nice. We have a bunch of different stuff. A lot of written. So I do written and then play-by-play broadcasting. I call hockey and baseball on the radio play-by-play. And then they have radio shows as well. But my biggest thing for them is the play-by-play broadcasting.
Hockey too and baseball?
Yeah. Yeah. Two totally different sports. And I like calling both because
you played. Yeah, you play both of them.
That's true. They're most knowledgeable sports, but I like calling both too because baseball is a lot more slow. You need to have a lot more background knowledge. And then with hockey, it's all go all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you do that? Because I mean, that's a skill to keep up with the puck.
Yeah. I have a cold brew with me every time and a tea as well. And you just kind of get better as it goes. I mean, obviously my first call wasn't as good as my most recent. Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. How do you get in that rhythm of knowing the opposing team? You know, like Vermont comes in, you got to memorize their numbers and, you know.
Yeah, Dom, you're totally right. I'm terrible at remembering to study the names as much as I should beforehand. Because we know what games we're doing, obviously, but I'm terrible at it. So I get a game sheet. I get there an hour and a half, 2 hours before the game. I get a game sheet and I just stare at this thing. Yeah. And I say the names over and over and over again for like 30 minutes straight until I get it down and I can kind of pretty much figure out which players are on which lines where. And then after that, it's somewhat of a guessing game, not a guessing game. Cause I have the sheet in my hand and you are also able to cheat a little bit in most press boxes and read the names. There's some schools that are like far away and it's harder to do so, but, So like BC is like that. I don't know if you've ever been to that rink.
Conti.
Yep. But you know how the sides go way up.
High,
so press
high,
box is all the way up there. And that one's pretty tricky. I did have to do some more preliminary research for that, but yeah, it's, I need to get better at it, but it is a bit of a learning process every time before the game.
And it's not like you can, you know, number 16 for Vermont gets the puck. You can't always just look down real quick and see his, because if you look down for a second, you might miss a goal.
Yeah, yes and no, but like I said, I've kind of done it in desperation, so it's you learn as you go and you develop to look down really quickly. And if you know who's on what line, usually you can kind of remember. Sometimes it kind of doesn't work out in my favor, but for the most part, I've gotten pretty good at it, honestly.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, just to remind folks, you were at Hamilton. Well, you're from the Hamilton Windham area. Which town? Which Wenham?
I'm from Wenham.
Went to where the heck did you go? Landmark? Is that what school you went to?
Yeah, I went to Landmark.
You were the first baseman go at Landmark. Catcher. Were you catcher? Or first
no, baseman? I was a first baseman.
Yeah, right. You were the Hamilton Wyndham Generals hockey goat. Goalie.
Yep. Goalie. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So you did those two sports. You didn't do any fall sports, did you?
No, mostly hockey in the fall was my thing. Now I'm playing rugby, Dom. Playing rugby.
You playing rugby for what? Northeastern Club or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at you, and I see all your clips now on 98.5thesportshub.com. You can check him out there. Just search Luke Graham, 98.5thesportshub. All his author profile page clips will come up. I think one of the most recent was what's up with the Celtics, you know? Celtics, let's read Luke Graham's lead. Very important. Celtics will be quite busy in the 2025 offseason. Boom!
Yeah.
Right away, you know?
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
Picking it right off the bat and telling everyone what's up.
They're gonna sell their entire team. That's pretty much no, not actually, but they do have to dump 40 million in contracts. 20 million to get under the second apron and then 40 million to get under the luxury tax. So it's gonna be a different roster for the Celtics next year.
I like this. You have it in listicle form. You know, number one, get under the second luxury tax apron. Now, is this you formatting that article like that, or do you have an editor who kind of changes it up and does the subheads, the headlines?
So I work very closely with Matt Dahl from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Mm-hmm. He's one of the lead writers there, kind of my manager, so to speak. And It depends. That style that we had, I actually kind of developed back for the bean pot, because I did a bean pot preview because, you know, I've covered college hockey. So I knew more than some of the other guys, and it was something interesting. And I was covering the, I was going to be covering the bean pot. So I developed that style then when running through different players that people should watch out for. And then it kind of carried over into once the Celtics were in the playoffs, I wrote a five things article for every single game. If pretty much five things to, five things to look out for in the next game.
Oh, okay. A little preview.
Which basically took trends from the game and games prior and the series prior, and then said, okay, this either needs to change or stay the same. Or so that's where that style came from.
Nice. So I like that. You know, Google likes that, right? For search. If you're trying to compete with the other Boston media, you're trying to compete with national media, you know, you don't want Boston fans searching for Celtics stuff stumble on ESPN. You want 98.5 The Sports Hub to be front and center. So there's all that SEO stuff. So you're getting so much great experience, live play-by-play, baseball, hockey, content writing on a website. You can go a lot of ways with your career, man. You must be pumped.
Yeah, whatever I can get into. So obviously the end goal is to do play-by-play broadcasting, but I know that's somewhat of a pipe dream. So whatever I can do to develop certain skills that can build my career and then maybe work on play-by-play on the side, but at least having something to fall back on. I'm a communications major and media studies. I'm not even a journalism major, but I've kind of through WRBB, that's when I started writing articles and then kept up with that. And now it transitioned into giving me a job at the Sports Hub.
Is that Northeastern WRBB? Does that have an FM dial or?
It's 104.9 Dom. Funny enough.
In the Boston area.
Yeah. So you know that company that bought
the North Catholic Shore company or something?
Yeah. They offered $1 million to WRBB, but the school couldn't sell it because the people who use the club are the students and they wouldn't be allowed to take any of the money.
Oh, gotcha. So they want to expand even into the Boston area and stuff. And they're like, no, we got this. We're going to stay put.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
104.9. So you actually literally like, all right, Luke Graham, 104.9 FM.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious that we go from one to the next.
That is a riot. And do you do a lot of, besides play-by-play for Northeastern, do you follow-ups like the next day, kind of like rap about the game the night before kind of thing? Or is it just a play-by-play?
Yes. I'll write game articles for WRBB and publish those. So I published two over the weekend about the baseball and their run in the NCAA regionals.
Yeah. All right. Well, they're the freshest team. So we're going to talk North Shore and Merrimack Valley kids, because there was quite a few contributors on the baseball team. And maybe I could even, you can indulge me and go back to hockey too. I'll read the roster to you and we can kind of engage where those kids in hockey contributed. Because I'm sure there's a few Merrimack Valley, North Shore possibly on the hockey team as well. But we're looking at baseball first, and I'm just going to rip down the roster and you give me the good. So Avan Cabral, number one, right-handed pitcher, St. Mary's out of Lynn. I know he's pretty nasty.
Yeah. So Cabral was their number three starter, their Saturday starter Sunday starter, as we'd call it, depending on if they played on a Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
He came in, he ended the year really well with a 2.92 ERA. He's definitely a draft prospect this year. He was drafted because he's a junior, he can be drafted out of college. He was originally drafted out of high school, but obviously didn't take it, wanted to go to college. Had an outstanding freshman season. Then last year as a sophomore, kind of declined a little bit, but this past summer he was one of the top pitchers in the CCBL, which is the Cape Cod Baseball League, the premier college summer baseball league. So there was high expectations for him, and he seemed to have met it. He did a good job as a day three starter. I do think his performance that he showed in the CCBL over the summer and then again at Northeastern this year should put him in many draft books. He finished with a 2.92 ERA, 74 strikeouts. He was a strikeout guy. More on that in a second. Mm-hmm. Through 89.1 innings of pitch. So pretty solid numbers from the junior. He doesn't have the top end numbers on the fastball. The fastest I've seen him hit on the gun is about 93, but he's more sitting 91 to 89.
Not good for a righty.
No. No, that's the difficult part about it, obviously.
At all. Yeah, he's gonna add what? I mean, what's the standard these days for Major League? I mean, I feel like it's more than it was.
97. I think 97 gets you in. 95, I think you can work fine out of the bullpen. Maybe that's it depends on your stuff. Yeah, it depends on your stuff. But he is a junior, so we'll see. And like he played against top end talent. The interesting thing about it this year was he was really a strikeout guy. Like I mentioned, 74 strikeouts on the year. But in this past weekend, he pitched on Sunday again in the second game against Mississippi State, the one that the Huskies ended up losing.
Yeah.
And he got hit around. He got hit around in the first inning and the second inning, and he had to adjust to pitching to contact. And we saw him pitch to contact and get that adjustment later on in the game, giving them a chance, which was, I think he gave up like 9 hits total, but most of them were in the first and second innings.
Yeah.
And to see him be able to adjust from a strikeout guy to pitch to contact, he only had 1K, was pretty good to see and reassuring.
Yeah. That's big boy baseball, Mississippi, right? State.
100%. I mean, and they didn't even get to look at Florida State. They play a different brand of baseball. Like it's totally different.
Yeah. They lost 3-2, pretty competitive with them. They lost 11-2 in the first game against them, but they also went down fighting 3-2.
Yeah.
And then they in between that played Bethune Cookman and got a win.
Yeah. The Huskies' first win since 1973.
I was just going to ask, like, what's the historical implications of that win? That's amazing. Like, so 40 plus, whatever, like, that's a lot of years. 50, what? 27 plus 20, 50 plus.
Yeah. For real. Yeah. And Mike Glavine, who's really turned Northeastern baseball into one of the premier baseball programs, if not the best in the Northeast, is 0 for 12, or no, excuse me, the program since 1973 was 0 for 12, but Glavine as well was 0 for, so it's a big moment, even though they were, you know, the 19th team ranked in the country and probably had expectations. They went on a 27 game win streak leading into the tournament, so they probably would have went farther, but in the grand scheme of things, it really was a jump for the Huskies this year.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, next North Shore or Merrimack Valley kid that I'm going to mention, and you're going to tell me what he contributed, Alex Lane Andover.
So Lane, it's honestly one of the bigger tragedies of the year for the Huskies. Not in like anything terrible happened, but he was the hottest batter in the NCAA last year. He averages like 450 at the plate, led the country in home runs. He finished with like 21 or something like that. And then apparently he suffered some type of injury in the offseason, caused him to miss a lot of the fall, and came back this year and was a shell of himself. I mean, he finished the year batting 220 or something like that. I'm trying to pull it up right as
235.
He only had 5 home runs. I mean, it was really one, like the guy that the Huskies would have relied on again to be their best guy, one of the best guys in the country, really didn't show up for them this year.
Oh, that's too bad. But nonetheless, great career overall when you look at it, right?
Yeah, he transferred in to Northeastern late, and then one of the best batters in the country last year, and you know, who knows what he could have accomplished this year if situation was different, but still a great career. And the more unfortunate thing is in that game that we mentioned in against Mississippi State, he hit into a double play to put 2 outs on in the bottom of the 9th inning.
They had a timer on.
He's
actually the go ahead run.
Were they
the home team Northeastern when they came?
It wasn't the top of the ninth, but it was a 3-2 game. They had a runner on, no outs. It looked like they had been threatening, and then he hit into the double play.
Yeah. All right. Well, good junior year, and we wish him the best of luck. Ryan Griffin, North Andover.
Yeah. So Griffin, he's a junior, but he hasn't played very much. It was actually a name I had to look up and look into, because I hadn't heard much from him at all. He only made 7 appearances, all from the bullpen, and for 7 innings total with a 6.14 ERA. So obviously not his year. And the Huskies, who have a pretty solid pitching staff plus some solid freshmen who came in and didn't pitch very much this year.
Yeah.
It's a tough room to pitch in. I mean, if you're in the bullpen and you don't have really great stuff and breaking balls and whatnot, you have to be hitting 92, 93.
Yeah. Guy who did pitch a lot this year was his former teammate, Brett Dunham, out of North Andover.
Yeah. And Dunham was primarily the closer for the Huskies this year. Yeah. I mean, he was the one that came in the biggest moments, even this weekend. He shut it down in the 8th against Mississippi State, got him scoreless, got himself out of a jam, and it wasn't being enough. And we actually talked to Dunham. You can find this on my Twitter, the video of him after the game. He was super emotional and really just loved playing at Northeastern. Seemed like an overall great guy. He made 19 appearances, all of them from the bullpen, for a 1.84 ERA, Dom.
Yeah, he was nasty in that sense. I mean, very solid, very consistent. Man, the Valley kids just keep on producing pitchers, because the next guy I'm going to mention for you to break down is Chelmsford's Jack Beauchene. I guess, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Beauchene, yeah. He, a bit of a down year as well. He only pitched 15.1 innings this year, Dom, for a 5.87 ERA. I do remember him being more reliable last year as a junior, but really didn't come in very much. He did make one appearance over the weekend in the NCAA tournament, but that was late in the first game that they were getting killed. So, you know, for him, it's probably the same type of situation where didn't have the numbers on the speed gun to make it into a regular appearance. And the Huskies just, they are incredibly deep, or they were this year. And that's what caused them to have the highest ranking in program history.
Yeah.
And whatnot. One more thing on Dunham is even though he was the closer, you'd see him go extended innings per appearance. He had 29.1 innings pitched, and he was one of the guys who were out of the bullpen. You'd see him hit 94, 95 miles an hour on the gun, and he had a mean slider as well.
Yeah. And a boy from your area, who you are not as tall as, Cooper McGrath, 6'8", 230. South Hamilton, Mass, and Pingree, 21.2 innings and a hell of an ERA, 1.66.
Yeah, McGrath out of the bullpen again, 19 strikeouts on the year. I never knew him, but yeah, he was from South Hamilton. Yeah. Really solid reliever out of the bullpen. He was actually pitching on Sunday and went, I think it was 3 or 4 innings and allowing one run and maybe 2 or 3 hits. So he had a solid outing, got himself out of a no outs bases loaded situation to keep it a 1-run game. There late in that game on Sunday, hitting around 95 on the gun, another mean slider guy breaking away. Overall, a solid little arm out of the bullpen for the Huskies.
Yeah, and I saw his delivery, just a couple of pictures on the Northeastern website. It looks like he, by the time he lands his plant foot, he's like halfway to the plate.
Well, yeah, he's like 6'8", right? That's what he said. Yeah, he's super tall guy.
You think he could get some looks? I mean,
you know,
95?
No, because he's a graduate student. He's past draft age.
Oh, yeah, he has to get signed or something, or he can't.
Yeah, and they won't even pick him up, to be honest. This was the conversation with Lane last year, actually, after he had such an electric season at the plate, was like, could he get picked up somewhere? But they're really not looking for people older, because what's he going to do? Sit in rookie single A and then maybe make it up to, you know, double A, triple A by the time he's 27?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad, and I think the final one I have on my list, Merrimack Valley / North Shore, would be North Shore's Will Jones, who had a fine season. It looks like a lefty pitcher, South Hamilton and Hamilton Wyndham Regional High School.
Yeah, and Jones, you know what's really funny is I've never met Jones, but I grew up with his brother, and I'm close with his family. So I'll see his dad and say hello to him at games and whatnot. Yeah, so he was their day one starter. He was their ace, graduate student. You know, Dom, he pitched backwards would be the best way I would describe it. He didn't throw a hard fastball at all, really topping out at 89, pretty much leveling around 86, 88 sometimes. But he had a very disgusting curveball, 12-6, just pretty much impossible to hit. But the problem, and it worked for most of the year, 11-1, 11-0 going into the last game against Mississippi State. He finished the year with a 2.63 ERA, but it's important to mention that going into that game with Mississippi State, he boasted the second best ERA in the country with a 1.82 because he had pitched so many innings, you know, 72 innings. But that one game against Mississippi State, he got rocked. He gave up a home run, just his third on the year, was done after three innings, and was not, he just didn't have his stuff. You know, there was a couple of things with that game. It got delayed about 2 hours because of a rain delay down in Tallahassee. That could have definitely contributed to it. The Huskies don't have lights at their field. They're not allowed to play night games, so the later start, it didn't get going until 9:05 versus 7:30. Probably could have played into it, or he just had an off night and was getting beat by Mississippi State. He sat down the first three batters, I think with two strikeouts, three up, three down. Yeah. Figured him out in the second inning.
Something to be proud of,
Yeah. I mean, it was a disappointing ending to a stellar season. Like I said, second in the country in ERA going into that game.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it. Let's switch to hockey real quick. Men's hockey finished 14-20-3, losing in the semifinals of the Hockey East. And looking at their season, I'm assuming one of the highlights overall for the team before we get into the locals possibly was a win over the runner-up, a 4-2 win over number three at the time, Boston College.
Yeah, that was the most unexpected game I've ever been at. I've been pretty critical of this team. I was very critical of this team, actually. And their goaltender, Cameron Whitehead, he's not a local guy. He's actually in the pros now. But they pulled it out of nowhere in an elimination game, second round of the Hockey East playoffs. They go into Conte, which seemed like an impossible game to win, and somehow won it. They bested the Eagles in an unexpected fashion, and they went on to go for a run a little bit. You know, they went, they took a road trip down to the TD Garden and went against the team that inevitably won the Hockey East Finals, Maine, who's, you know, much better than, you know, their rankings as always. They've been in three and whatnot, and they get a little bit of flack because they usually don't have a ton of top end Hobie Baker talent or drafted talent. They had this kid Harrison Scott, who was definitely a Hobie Baker talent this year. But Maine is so much of a harder team to play because they're heavy, but yet they're skilled. But they took them into triple overtime, I believe, in that semifinals where they blew out every other team they played by, I believe, like 3 to 5 points.
Nice.
In that tournament.
Let's go down the roster for Northeastern men's hockey, seeing if we got any Valley or North Shore kids.
Good.
Right. So I'm running down the roster, and certainly not as many locals as there were on the, you know, baseball team, but men's hockey, you know, did have a couple. Why don't we go with starting with Lynn's own, but he went to some kind of private school or private league, whatever you call those, BCHL, Billy Norcross.
Yeah, so he went to school at Cushing Academy, Norcross did, and then went to go play juniors in the BCHL before going to play at Northeastern. Norcross was a sophomore this year. He's no longer with the Huskies. He's went to the transfer portal, which has since closed, and he is uncommitted at this moment. But, you know, I personally liked Norcross' game. I thought he played a fast, hard game, always getting in there on the, you know, the forecheck and whatnot, creating, but, you know, it never really turned into anything for a guy that you'd kind of expect to be a skill guy because he was so fast on the ice. He only put up 1 point this year in 22 games and only five in his career at Northeastern.
Yeah.
No goals, actually, too.
Okay. And I'm going to skip to the coaching ranks because I'm glad I looked. Jerry Keefe, head coach, is actually out of Billerica.
Yeah, Keith. He's been at the helm for Northeastern since 2021. He was Jim Madigan's right hand man. Madigan moved up and is now the current AD at Northeastern, and Keith's been at the helm ever since. He's a decent coach. He's known as one of the best recruiters in the country. But this year, everybody he recruited from the transfer portal, besides maybe one or two guys, basically one or two, maybe three guys, but they brought in like eight guys or six guys in the transfer portal, basically were busts. The number one being Nick Rayum, who led the UMass Little River Hawks in goals and then scored one or two this season. So it was definitely a bad year for Keefe. There was also an issue with the power play where it was like the worst power play in the country, scoring like only 7% of the time. And he was unable to change the system at all, running the same plays over and over again with no diversity, and it just never worked out. So, you know, it was this year being a down year for the Huskies kind of reflected poorly on Keefe. His son is actually coming to Northeastern next year. Or supposed to. It's in the USHL right now, Owen Keefe, but it's to be determined if he's 19, so he has another year of junior eligibility, but he is scheduled to come next year. But we'll see, because the Huskies have to abide by these new NCAA rules. That is a 26-man roster, and that's the most, and they're currently at 28. Yeah. So we'll see.
Gotcha. All right. And lastly, Marbleheader. Did Kyle Fury get any solid time?
No. The Kyle Fury, really nice guy. I know him personally, but he never really played. He, I believe, had three total career appearances and one or two this year, junior. You know, just the classic eighth defenseman on the roster. You got in there for senior night, but nothing really else, and only had like two shifts.
Played against UConn, in the senior night.
And they got blown out in that game.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap it up with the Luke Graham story. Back to that. What's next for the Graham?
So I'll finish up at the Sports Hub next Friday, actually. So almost done there, which I'm kind of sad, but we'll see what's in the future for me. I have another co-op, similar type of thing that I'm doing now, where I'm 6 months taking off class and working next spring or next fall, depending on when I decide to do it. I'm going to do some applying, but if, you know, 98.5 were to offer me a return type of thing, I'd probably just take it and skip the application process to other places.
Nice and easy.
Yeah. I really like working there. It's a great environment. As far as like in the imminent future, I'm going to go back, you know, to caddying in the summer here pretty soon. And then it'll be back on Northeastern campus in Boston to, you know, do classes. I'm doing a sports journalism class that I'm excited about with Chad Graff of The Athletic, who, you know, I read a bunch of his stuff, and he already follows me on Twitter, which I thought was really funny. He followed me a long time ago, and, you know, I'm not that popular on Twitter. Haven't made it big time yet, but
you are popular, sir.
I appreciate it, Dom. So yeah, I'm excited about that, and then it'll just be covering Northeastern hockey is the next big thing for me in the fall, probably in October it'll begin. We don't know the exact schedule, but yeah.
And when's when you get a diploma from the Huskies land?
2028. Because at Northeastern we do 5 years, so in two co-ops. So I'll do a year of co-op and then 5 years of schooling. So probably spring 2028. If I take some summer classes.
Yeah.
I could graduate early, but I'm not rushing out of there just yet.
There's no reason to. College Great. I'm doing a greater than side. College greater than real world.
Yeah. I'm kind of experiencing that working. I mean, it's like, it's a little bit more lonely, man. You know, I mean,
you work from home for the sports hub?
No, I'm 3 days in office, 2 days remote. And I have my apartment in Boston that I was at most of the semester, but now no one's in Boston. So I kind of just was like, all right, I can either sit in my apartment, no roommate, no one really around, or you can just go back to my parents' house and drive into Waltham from Wenham.
Oh, that's what's up in Waltham, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice office. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. All right, man, you're the best. I am so proud of where you're going, where you're headed. Big things are ahead for the Gram, the LG, the OG, the new G. you're gonna crush it. I know you're already crushing it. This is great.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you having me back. I was like, this is when you text me, I was like, this is kind of a full circle moment, no? Like
this
started there. Now I'm getting brought back as a quasi expert guest. That's a pretty cool stepping stone. But
you're helping me bang out two shows.
Yeah, of course, man. Anytime you need me back, man, I'm happy to come. But also, before I go, like, thank you to you, obviously, for really, you know, giving me that step up. Like, that was a great experience, and
live radio, man.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like FM radio. I mean, you. I remember in the beginning, like, what I look for out of someone that comes in is, first of all, initiative. You reach out to me to get on. That was one good sign. Number two, you came in and you're like, preparation. Like, you had things set. You had people, guests lined up, right? You know?
Yeah. Yep.
You got to experience the live FM radio where, you know, things go south and the guests don't show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a full hour's worth or a full 45 minutes, whatever it may be, of content ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
As a backup, it's like, you may do all this research and data or all that and never use it because the guest shows up next time.
Yeah. 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 So gotta be prepared for everything, you know?
All right. Yeah. We'll definitely get you back on next school year to, you know, give me the recap of the locals at actually, even if there's not a heavy local influence, you're the local telling me about what's going on. So that's
good. Yeah. 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 I mean, there's like with the hockey team, I mean, you know, it's mostly a lot of kids from elsewhere. I mean, there's some Massachusetts people, Burlington, North Reading, but nothing. And then the South Shore, but not a lot in the North Shore, Merrimack Valley.
Yeah. But there was in baseball and a few in hockey. So thanks for giving our listeners a little heads up on that and a little nice recap for a great historical run for the Huskies baseball.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, man.
All right. We'll talk soon, brother. Have a good night.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you, Dom.
See ya.
Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
That was Luke Graham, our boy, our intern. Now we're going to move on to the big guns of the Merrimack Valley, the contenders, as we call them, Division I baseball. We've got North Andover in the mix at playing King Philip. And that is the round of 16. We don't have that at deadline, unfortunately. And on the other side of that Division I bracket for baseball, North Andover's on one side, Chelmsford's on the other. They're playing on Thursday at 7 against Bishop Feehan down at Feehan High School. So Andover's still alive. They played Wednesday night against Wellesley. So three Valley teams left, looking good. Division II baseball. Billerica, Plymouth North in it in the Sweet 16 on Wednesday night after deadline. Take a peek at Division III before we move on to the next sport. Shawshene and Wakefield are going at it on the Sweet 16 on Wednesday night. Tewksbury and Arlington Catholic doing the same on Wednesday as well. So Tewksbury and Shawshene still alive in the Valley. Softball, Division I. You've got Central Catholic lost 4-1 to Bridgewater in the Sweet 16, so their run ended. But if you go to, yeah, Bishop Feehan beat Andover, so they're another Valley team that was bounced. And if you go on the other side of the bracket, you're looking at Chelmsford. They got bounced 12-0. So all Valley teams are gone from Division I softball. Division II softball. Any Valley teams left? We shall see. Tewksbury, Wednesday night against Reading. It's going to be a tough one. Marblehead Humpkinton. They're not in the Merrimack Valley. Dom's North Shore brain kicked in for a second. So Boys Lacrosse, Division I, you know, Central Catholic and BC High are playing Tuesday night. So Andover and Needham are playing Wednesday night. Well, that's good. They're on the same side of the bracket there. Could be a clash coming up in the Valley. That's all we report from Boys Lacrosse Division I. How about Division II? Division II, North Andover and Mansfield are going at it in Sweet 16 on Wednesday night. And Billerica and Agawam, same thing, Wednesday night at Billerica High School. Girls Lacrosse, Division I. Central Catholic and Lexington on Tuesday night. Chelmsford and Shrewsbury on Tuesday night, North Andover and Newton North on Tuesday night. So definitely some Valley action there. Love it. Andover and Franklin on Wednesday night. So love it. Plenty of Valley action. Probably the best sport, really, if you look at it. How about Girls Lacrosse Division II? Methuen, Notre Dame on Tuesday night. Nice work, Methuen. The other side of that bracket, Bill Ricker still alive on a Wednesday night game against Westwood. That'll do it. I'm going to call it a show. Thank you, Luke Graham. Thank you, the Valley. Thank you, Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month program. And thank you to all of our supporters. Tune in next week. Another show coming up. Things are going to get really interesting. State title weekend's coming up a week from this weekend. Have a good one, everybody.